Daf Yud. Yesterday we ended off right before the Mishnah discussing the last time that one could say Shema for Maariv, the nighttime Shema. So so you certainly have until dawn. That is clear. The Amar HaShachar. The Mishnah quoted in the name of Rabbi Gamliel that you have until dawn. The Chachamim say that you have until midnight. And Rabbi Elazar says that you have only until 4 hours into the evening. Either way, the halacha is that you have until dawn. There is a slight discrepancy, however, amongst the Rishonim in terms of what exactly that means. So the Rosh says that we paskin strictly like Rabbi Gamliel, which means that you have until dawn, period. There's no distinction between lechatchil and b'diavad, meaning it's the halacha simply like Rabbi Gamliel, that you have till dawn to say the Shema. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say no, that lechatchila one should say the Shema by midnight, and it's only b'diavad that one could say the Shema up until dawn. What about from dawn until sunrise? You remember the Gemara yesterday said that a person could be saying Shema twice between dawn and sunrise and fulfill Shema of the evening and Shema of the morning. Sounds like from the Gemara that you could say Shema even after dawn, even before sunrise. So that, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, is only if he was really an anus, meaning that the opportunity to say Shema after Amud HaShachar but before dawn, and to have that serve as your Shema of the evening, that only will work if you really were an anus and you were, you had no way of saying Shema any earlier. But if you could have said Shema earlier and you just on your own, you just delayed it till after Amud HaShachar, so then you cannot say Shema after Amud HaShachar for the evening, for the previous evening. Ad Kan, that is the end of the previous sugya. We start now with the next sugya. We're on Daf Tesamud Beis, and we're starting with the Mishnah. Emes Akar Neshma B'Shacharis. From what point in the morning can you say Shema? We're talking now about the Shema Shel Shacharis. So up until now, the Gemara from the first Amud of Masechta Brachos until this very point was talking about the Shema Shel Maariv. Now we move to the Shema Shel Shacharis. So Emes Akar Neshma B'Shacharis. Mishiyakir Ben Tchelos Olavan. So from the time that you see the difference between Tchelos and Lavan, we're going to assume Tchelos over here means blue, as in blue wool, as in what we normally understand as Tchelos. So the difference between blue and white. Rabbi Lazar Amar means Tchelos Akarti. Rabbi Lazar says the difference between blue and green. Presumably there's a finer distinction and there's a greater need of perception to distinguish between blue and green. So you need, in other words, you need more light. It needs to be later in the morning. We're still talking before sunrise. Obviously, at sunrise, there's a tremendous amount of light in the sky. After sunrise, there's a lot of light in the sky. So clearly, when the Mishnah here is talking about the earliest time that you could be saying Shema, we're talking now at some point before sunrise. Now, it has to be at some point after dawn, meaning, as we already discussed yesterday, dawn is really the beginning of day. So we have to be discussing some point after dawn, so we're somewhere in the window between dawn and sunrise where there's enough light where you could make these perceptual differences between either blue and white, according to the Tanakhama, or blue and green, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Good. So that's the beginning time of Shema. Vigomra. Now, when is the last time that you could say Shema in the morning? Adonates. Hachama. So according to the Tanakhama, you have until Netz Hachama, you'll have until sunrise. Rav Yishua Omer, Ashal Shavus. And Rav Yishua disagrees, and he says, no, you have 3 hours into the day. Shekein Derech Malachim Lamod B'Shal Shavus, because kings get up 3 hours into the day. And again, this goes back to the first point that we made in the Masechta. The whole time, the Zman of Shema is based on the Pasuk of B'Shach B'Chov Kumecha. When you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning. So when you go to sleep, we already discussed, that's the Machlokes Tanaim. Does that mean the act of going to sleep, or does that mean the Zman that you are actually asleep? Good. Now, Uv Kamecha means the time that you get up in the morning. Here it seems to be everyone's in full agreement that we're looking specifically for when people get up. The act of getting up. So over here, the Machlokasov is basically what's the time frame of when people get up. So people normally get up around sunrise. Before sunrise, at sunrise, but basically that's the time when people get up. So Rabbi Yeshua says, yeah, but since kings get up 3 hours into the day, so therefore the action of the kings extend the Zman of Shema, so you could say 3 hours into the day. King, enjoy being a king. It's good to be the king, and therefore they enjoy extra sleep in the morning. So because they wake up third hour into the day, so therefore we are given 3 hours into the day to say Shema. Hakar mikam ve'elach lo yifsi ba'adam ha'kikari b'Torah. Anyone who reads the Shema after that point in time, so you didn't lose out, it's like reading from the Torah. Meaning you may not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Shema bizmano, but you're still no different than reading from a chumash. You are reading psukim. We'll talk more about that later on. The Gemara starts off, my ben tchilta lavan. So, ila me ben gvava da'amar chivra, le gvava da'amar de tchilta, hai belayla nami me de yade. Are we talking about where you have a tuft of wool which is dyed white, or I should say left white, and you have a tuft of wool which is dyed blue, so, and they're standing right next to another. So the Gemara says people could perceive the difference between a full tuft of wool which is blue versus a full tuft of blue which is white, and people don't need any light for that. In other words, the simple nighttime light provided by the moon and by the stars is going to be enough light in order to tell the difference. So we're looking for the point in the morning where there's enough light in the morning where you can make a finer distinction. So we can't be talking about tufts of wool, ela bein tchelis shabba lalavan shabba. So, but we're talking about the difference between tchelis and lavan in it, shabba. Now what exactly does that mean? So you take a look at Rashi, and Rashi says that we're talking about where you had a piece of wool which was dyed. It wasn't fully dyed. There are strains of white still in the wool, and that's what the Gemara here is referring to be able to distinguish between the blue and the white. Take a look at Tosos over here. Tosos strongly disagrees with Rashi, and Tosos goes on to write, we're on the top Tosos on the Amud, V'kasha d'armin ben nachos, rei mitzvah zu, sheba talui mitzvah acheres, ve'ezezu zu kriyashma. In Tzitzis, you have a remez to another mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Krishma, Kedidana, Shiakar ben Tchelas Lavan. Meaning in tzitzis. Now, of course, we know in our tzitzis we're supposed to have blue and white. I understand the majority of us don't. Majorities just have white. We've lost the art of the blue. It is making a renaissance. It is coming back. For centuries and centuries, we have lost the art of the blue. But when we had the art of the blue, and hopefully Bemer B'Yameinu, we're all going to agree to what the blue is. So the Tosus quotes that if you're looking at it, tzitzis, and you'll see that some of the strings are blue and some of the strings are white, you need the amount of light necessary in order to tell the difference between the blue and white strings of your tzitzis. So the ikai agizat semer in etali betzitzis va'od b'layla nami pamim yachon lero semer shena tzavu kedarko akar chachish lafarsh mein tchel shabab betzitzis. We know that when you wrap your tzitzis, so you make it up of blue and white, and when you do the windings, when you wind, so some of the windings are going to be blue and some of the windings are going to be white, and they're right next to one another. You need enough light in order to see the difference between the blue and the white windings around the tzitzis. Good. So that's what Tosfos says, and that's the amount of light that you need in order to be able to say Kriya Shema. So in other words, there are two things really connected to one another. There is the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And, obviously, if you think it through a little bit more, you realize, of course, because the third paragraph of Shema, what are we talking about? The mitzvah of tzitzis. So the two mitzvahs are linked to one another. When I could see my tzitzis well, which is Mishiyakir, from the point that I could recognize the difference between blue and white, now I have the next mitzvah, it's connected mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, kick in. Good. That is Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishiyakir ben Zev Lekelev. The Gemara now is going to go over various other opinions in terms of how much light do you need to see in the early morning, after dawn, before sunrise, in order to have the mitzvah of Shema. So Rabbi Akiva says the difference between distinguishing between a wolf and a dog. So, Rabbi Akiva Omer ben Chamor La'arod, the difference between seeing the donkey and an arod, another form of donkey. The amount of light necessary in order so that you're able to recognize a friend who is standing 4 amos away from you. Says that's the halacha. Now, as far as putting on tefillin, the halacha is like acherim lekriyashma kivatikin. But as far as kriyashma is concerned, so that is vasikin. What is vasikin? I'm sure everyone here is familiar. It's the first time I believe the Gemara has used the term Vasikin. So Rashi points out, Anashim Anavim Umechavavim Mitzvah. Vasikin is a term used to people who are humble people, who love doing mitzvos. The Amr Rav Yochanan Vasikin Ayu Gomer Mosa, Ima Netzachama. Rav Yochanan was quoted as saying that these Vasikin, what would they do? They would say Shema right before sunrise. So they were finished with their Shema and the brachos of Shema right at sunrise, so that when they start Shmoneh Esrei, they could start Shmoneh Esrei punked exactly at Netzachama. Tanya Miach, the Gemara quotes a Bryce as well. Vasikin Ayu Gomer Nasa Im HaNetzachama Kedei Shiyismach Gula LeTfila V'Nimtza Mispala Bayom. Because what you want your Shmoneh Esrei to be during the day. So you want your Shmoneh Esrei to be with the sunrise, with the Netzachama. So in order to coordinate, so you want to say Shema right before. Why do you want to say Shema right before? As we discussed earlier, and the Gemara over here discusses, because of the inyan of being Samech Gula LeTfila, because you want to put the Geula, meaning Geula here is referencing the Bracha right after Shema, juxtapose it right next to Tefillah, right next to Shmoneh Esrei. So now that you want to coordinate your Shema and your Shmoneh Esrei one right next to another, and you want to daven your Shmoneh Esrei at Netzachama, so that means that you want to say your Shema a little bit before, so that you end Shema with Netzachama. Amar Zera Maikra, the pasuk that speaks to this idea, Yira'ucha im Shemesh. You should have a Yira'us HaMakom, a fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im HaShemesh, together with the sun. V'lifnei Yarech Dor Darim. And Lifnei Yarech, Rashi over here explains that Lifnei Yarech literally translates as before the moon. But before evening, you should also have a Yira'us HaMachus, which Rashi over here understands means Mincha. Mincha should be said late in the day. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda ben Eliyakim Mishum Kala Kedisha Debisham Kol Samech Gula Tefila Inu Nizo Kol Ayom Kula. If anyone is Samech Gula Tefila, so he will not be harmed the whole day. Amar Rabbi Zeri Inu Baha Ana Samche V'it Zake. The Gemara says, what do you mean? We do it. We're Samech Gula Tefila, and we do get harmed. Amalei B'mai Zatz. He says, well, let's first define, what does it mean you get harmed? What was the bad thing that happened to you? The Amtaya Asala Be Malka. You were called in by the king, and you were asked to bring hadasim to the king. Apparently, he was a supplier. So, what do you mean? I would have paid money to see the king. We're not talking about a Jewish king over here. We're talking about a non-Jewish king. If you have a chance to see the king, so you should run. You should run to see a king, whether it be a Jewish king or whether it even be a non-Jewish king. And one of the things you'll notice is that even if you want to go see a non-Jewish king, is that it'll help you distinguish and differentiate between a Jewish king and a non-Jewish king. So it's good to see a king, even a non-Jewish king. So that's your hezek, that's what you're complaining about, that you had to go see a non-Jewish king. Good. It's good to see a non-Jewish king in order to make avchani. Remember the Gemara just a couple of days ago talked about how David HaMelech differentiates himself between himself and the other kings. The other kings, they sleep until 3 hours into the day, which we just learned in the Mishnah. David HaMelech didn't sleep at night, maybe got a little bit of sleep before Chatzos, woke up at Chatzos. In other words, so he made clear distinctions and differentiations between himself and the other kings. Good. What's so important about being Samech Gula L'Tfila? So let's remind each other that Rashi says earlier in the Masechta, Daf Dalin, that you want to be Samech Gula L'Tfila because, says Rashi, you want to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you want to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you do so with Shema, with the brachos of Shema. You talk about how he took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim, so you really now have a kirov, you have a closeness with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and now you can be daven, now that you're close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's so important about being Samech Gula L'Tfila. Rabbeinu Yonah offered in the back of the Gemara two pshatim in terms of why it's so important to be Samech Gula L'Tfila. Number one says Rabbeinu Yonah to come to the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim for one reason only, so that we would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We would become His Avadim. Now that we're His Avadim, so then you do Avoda. What does an Eved do? An Eved does Avoda. What's our Avoda? Our Avoda is Shmoneh Esrei. Good. That's one pshat offered by the Rabbeinu Yonah. Then we offered a second pshat, which is it's a function of Emunah, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. And it's hard to imagine, by natural law, that's not supposed to happen, that one nation is to be taken out from another nation, specifically a nation that was enslaved. And not only were we taken out, but we were taken out with Nisim, and the Makos, and the Kriyas Yamsuf. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do all that. So now we realize we're davening to a koach that can do all that. So good. So now when we daven Shmona Esrei, so now we're ready to have total emuna that he can help us in any situation that we're in. Amalei Rabbi Elai, we're back to the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Elai, le'ula ki alit la'asam shal b'shlama d'Rav Bruna. Do me a favor, ask about how Rav Bruna is doing. Achi b'mama chalachabura, the Adam Gadol, who is a great man. V'sameach b'mitzvos. And he is happy to do mitzvos. He likes doing mitzvos. Zimna chara samech gula tfila. One time he actually did it. He was samech gula tfila. V'lo pasach chucha mipu mikola yoma. And he didn't stop smiling the entire day. Now, Tosfos is bothered by the question, which probably everyone who is listening is bothered. And Tosfos is bothered. V'im tomar, last Tosfos on the Amud. V'im tomar v'alo kol ha'olam samchim gula l'tfila. U'may rabusa de Rav Bruna de lo pasach chucha mipumei. Right? We all do it. Every day, samech gula l'tfila, we daven. And watch. As we say Shema, and we say the brachas of Shema, and the bracha after Shema is Gal Yisrael, and then we go right into Shemona Esrei. So we do what exactly the Gemara here is saying you should do. And the idea that you're not going to get in a hezek, and Rav Bruna smiled the whole day after he was being Samech Gula Tfila, we do it. And you look around, and not everyone's smiling all the time. And what's so special? The Yesh Lamer Satosa suggests, Achi, Kamar, Kol Samech Gula Tfila, Kivasikin. So it's not just being Samech Gula Tfila, that everyone does. But it's that coordinated with doing it Vasikin. Shekar and Kriya Shema, Karna Manetz, Vitzvila Achar Netz. And that's saying Shema right before Netz Achama, so that you begin Shemona Esrei at Netz Achama, that the Gemara says is special. That's what Rav Bruna did. One day he hit Netz Achama exactly on the mark, and he didn't stop smiling the whole day. The Gemara here is bothered by questions which we're familiar with as we went through these questions back on Daf Dalet. The Gemara here reviews. Hey, Chimatzu Samech V'Hamer Rav Yochanan B'Tchila Hu Amei Hashem Sfasai Tiftach L'Vesof Amei Yulat Sonim Refi. So we know that there are two things that were added, two psukim that were added to your Shemona Esrei. One is Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, added before Shemona Esrei. The other is Yulat Sonim, which is added after Shemona Esrei. So how could you be Samech Gula Tchila? Doesn't these psukim constitute a hefsek? So Amar Rav Elazar Tebet Tefila Shal Arvis. So the Gemara's first answer, interesting answer of the Gemara, which the Gemara earlier did not suggest, is well, maybe you don't say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach in the morning, but maybe you only say in the evening. And the inyan to be Samech Gula Tefila is only in the morning, but not in the evening. Now, the Amar Rav Yochanan, the Gemara immediately rejects this answer. Ezehu ben olam haba zehu Samech Gula Shal Arvis Tefila Shal Arvis. That some being Samech Gula Tefila is not just in the morning, but in the evening as well, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, if you remember earlier in the Gemara, we had a machlokas on this. Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But the Gemara now is assuming that we're going like Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, we are explaining Rabbi Yochanan over here in our Gemara. So, Ela, Amar Rav Elazar, Tei B'Tfilas HaMencha. Okay, the Hashem Sfasai Tiftach is only added at Mincha. Left out in Shacharis, left out at Mariv, but only added at Mincha because at Mincha, there's no inyan to be Samech Gula Tefila. Rav Ashi Amar Filatema Kulon V'Kem De Kavur Rabban B'Tefila Kitzvila Arich Damya. But then the Gemara goes to the more fundamental answer, which the Gemara already said back on Daf Dalet, and that is once Hashem Sfasai Tiftach is added to Shemona Esrei, it becomes part of Shemona Esrei, and so therefore it is Tefila Richta. The Gemara says, and you have to say this because you arrive at a question by Mariv, because there's another bracha. Right after you say the words Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael, you don't start Shemona Esrei at Mariv, but then there's another bracha, the bracha of Ashkivenu. So how is that not a hefsek between your geula and your tefila? So the Gemara here reviews what we already learned back in Daf Dalet. Ela kevin de tekin rabban ashkevin be geula richter. I'm sorry, ki geula richter damya achanam kevin de kavur rabban be tefila ki tefila richter damya. So the hashkevin was part of the geula, so therefore it's geula richter. So Hashem sefasai tiftach is part of Shemona Esrei, so therefore it's a Shemona Esrei richter. Michti. So the Gemara goes, good. Now let's go to the pasuk that was added after Shemona Esrei, which is Yulatzon, Mechti. Hi, Yulatzon, Mirfi, Mashma, Levasof, Mashma, Mikara. Now, the words themselves, Yulatzon, which is found at the end of Perek Yutes in Tehillah. The words Yulatzon, the literally translate as, may it be these words which, now it could go either way, it's somewhat ambiguous, and the Gemara here is pointing to the ambiguity. It could mean may it be the words that I will say, or may it be the words that I did say. So it's an ambiguous translation, and by us adding it to the end of Shmoneh Esrei, it makes it sound like we know. We know that when David HaMelech wrote the words, Yula Ratzon, Imrei Fi, it means may it be the words that I did say. How do we know? How do we know that that's the correct interpretation of Yula Ratzon? To which the Gemara answers, I'm going to read again. Hi, Yula Ratzon Imrei Fi Mashma Levesofa Mashma Mikara Debi'in LaMeimar. My time at Takin Rabban L'Acher Yudches Brachos Lema Mikara. Why wasn't Yula Ratzon added at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei? And the interpretation could just as well meant, may it be the words that I will say and not the words I did say. I'm Rav Yehuda Berin Rishim and Mepazi Hovel Amr David El Al Acher Yudches Parshios Lefichach Takin Rabban L'Acher Yudches Brachos. Well, let's see where David Amalch placed it. He placed it at the end. And the Gemara here says that he placed it at the end of 18 of the Prakim of Tehillah. So it's found at the end of Perek Yud Ches. The Gemara, now, if you open up a Tehillim and you're looking inside a Tehillim, so immediately you realize there's a problem with the Gemara just said. Because the Gemara is right. It's at the end, but it's not the end of Perek Yud Ches. It's at the end of Perek Yud Tes. In fact, the last pasuk in Perek Yud Tes is Yulor Tzanimri Fi Ve'Yonli Bilufanecha Shem Tzuriv Galali. So the Gemara asks this very question. Ani Yud Ches Yud Tes Avayan Ashrei Ish. So the Gemara now is going to be Mechadish the following. The first two Perekim of Tehillim, they're really one Perek. And they were later broken up. Meaning the Perek that starts off with the words Ashrei Ish, and the Perek that starts off, Perek Beis, that starts off Lama Rakshu Goyim, those are really one perek. Asher Eish v'lamar Rakshu Goyim Chada Parsha Hi. Da'am Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Yishima Menpazi Kuf Gimel Parsha Yosam Radavi v'lamar Haluka Asher Rabba Ma'palasam Shav Rishayim Shenemar Yitamu Chataim Min Ha'arts Risham Odeinam Baruch Hinashem Hashem Haluka. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you another proof that Prakim 1 and 2 at one point in time was really one. And so that means that every perek after that is really one perek earlier. So that means Perek Yud Tes is really Perek Yud Ches. And Perek Kuv Dal is really Perek Kuv Gimel. So the Gemara says, and David HaMelech did not speak about the downfall of the enemy until the end of 103 Prakim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean 103? Hani Kuv Dal Havyan. What do you mean? It's at the end of Perek Kuv Dal, 104. Alosh Mamina Ashrei Aish V'Lamarakshu Goyim Chada Parshahi. So really, Ashrei Aish V'Lamarakshu is one Parsha. And the Gemara brings another proof that this is so. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yonasan, called Parsha Shaisa Chaviv El David. Any Parsha that was beloved to David HaMelech, Pasach Bi Ashrei V'Siyam Baba Ashrei, begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. So now if you look at the beginning of Perek Aleph, it starts off, Ashrei Aish Asher Lo Alach Batzas Rishayim, Uve Derech Hatayim Lo Amad, Uve V'Moshev Leitzim Lo Yashav. Good. So that's the first pasuk of Perek Aleph of Tehillim. And then when you look at the end of Perek Beis, it says, V'tovdu derech ki yivar kim'at apo ashrei kol chosei bo. So it ends with ashrei. So you see that what David HaMelech did when he wrote down the first two perekim, it really wasn't two perekim. It was really one perek. It opened with ashrei and ended with ashrei to show that it was really one unit. And the Gemara uses the lashon of kol parsha shaisa chaviv el David, any parsha that was beloved to David. So he did that. He started with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei. Now you can take a look at Tosfos right here on the Amud, the only Tosfos on this Amud, and he points out that there really is no other perek in Tehillim that opens with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei. So the language of the Gemara here is a little bit strange, called parsha, and Tosfos makes a suggestion that the Gemara here is lav dafka. It doesn't mean the words Ashrei. It means any time that David HaMelech had a particularly fond feeling about a Perek Tehillim, he opened and he closed with the same words. Tosfos gives the example, Haluka. You find a lot of Prakim in Tehillim, notably the ones we say in Pesukei de Zimra, that open with Haluka and end with Haluka. Okay, but anyway, but that is the Gemara's assertion that another raya that Perek Aleph and Perek Beis really are Perek Aleph, it's one, and they were split. Simple question, which the Gemara here doesn't ask. Why were they split? What motivated, and when exactly was it split? So the Maharsha makes a very interesting suggestion. He says, well, now we see that the first 18 prakim of Tehillim really coordinate to the Shmoneh Esrei, to the Yud Ches Bracha that we say every day is what we call the Amida. Good. But we don't say Yud Ches Brachos. We say Yud Tes Brachos. meaning at a later point in time, we'll learn it later on in the Gemara, in the fourth parak, I believe. So a later point in time, there was a 19th bracha that was added to Shmoneh Esrei. So now that we say, we don't say Shmoneh Esrei, it's really, I mean, we still call it Shmoneh Esrei, but it's really Yutes, right? That's not what we call it, but it's really 19. So now, how are we going to reflect that in David HaMelech's Tehillim? So the Marsha suggests that's why we broke up Perek Aleph into two. So now that the Yulah Ratzon, which is David's conclusion of his Shmoneh Esrei, is not at the end of the 18th Perek, but now is at the end of 19th Perek to reflect the added bracha in Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, suggestion by the Marsha. Hanu Bir Yone, we're on Yud Amud Aleph. We are now at the two dots, four lines from the top of the Amud. And we continuing in the Gemara. Gemara tells a story that I'm sure a number of people are familiar with. Hanu Bir Yone Davu Bishavus Dramer Vahava Kamitsari Luhu Tuva. There were bullies, just tough people who bothered Rav Meir and bothered him so much, got to the point where he asked Rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he davened to Hashem. Rameir asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kehecha Delamesu, and his tefillah was a very simple tefillah, I would like them all to die. So Amar Leburia Divisayu Maidaitech. So the Gemara here quotes the wife of Rav Meir, the famous Buria, and she says to her husband, so what are you thinking right now? Mishum Dechsiv Yitamu Chataim. So because the Pasuk says Yitamu Chataim, and we just quoted the Perek Kuf Dalet, so that's why I think the Gemara over here speaks out the story of Buria and Rav Meir. So Yitamu Chataim Miksiv Chotim. Now it doesn't say the sinners, the ones committing the sin, but rather Chataim is talking about the actual sins themselves. Ksiv. Va'osh v'la sefer dekra. And if you read on in the Perek and Tehillim, Rishayim od einam. So, Kevin, the Yitam of Chataim, Rishayim od einam. So, and clearly that's not the intent of the Pasuk, that they want the Chotim to die, because then what would be the purpose of the next part of the Pasuk? U Rishayim od einam. Once they're dead, obviously, Rishayim Odeinam. Well, then the Navi, David HaMelech doesn't want the Chote to die. He wants the Chet to die, and therefore there won't be any more Rishus in this world because people will stop sinning. That was what David was asking for, and so therefore, what you should be asking for, says Buria to Rav Meir, is that you should be asking for the sinners to stop sinning. So Rav Meir listened to his wife Buria, asked that they stop sinning, and they were a chozer b'tshuva. So now the Gemara talks about a dialogue between a tzeduki and Buria. The pasuk says, which is difficult to understand. The Akara, the woman who is unable to give birth, she's going to sing Rina. She's going to sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mishum Delo Yalada. Rani? That doesn't make any sense. I'm Amalei, Shatya. So she says to the Tzeduki, you really are a fool. Shvula Sefer Dekra. Why don't you look at the end of the Pasuk? Dechsev Ki Rabim B'nei Shomema B'nei B'ula Amar Hashem. Because if you look at the end of the Pasuk, it says Ki Rabim B'nei Shomema. So in other words, Ela my akara lo yalada rani kinesi sishol shadam al isha akara shelo yalada banim legehenim kevaseichu. Meaning that the rina over here is to the idea that at certain points in history we were such rishayim, it would have been better for us not to produce future children and future generations. They're going to suffer the same fate as that generation. Amalei Otsiduk leRabbi Abba Uksiv Mizmor leDavid beBarchu b'mnei Avshalom beno Uksiv leDavid Mechtam beBarchu b'mnei Shaul beMa'ara. So in Perek Yud Gimel of Tehillim, David HaMelech talks about how he was running away from Avshalom, his son, and then in Perek Nun Zayin of Tehillim, he's talking about how he's running away from Shaul. Now, hi, Maisa Hava Bereisha, Mechni Maisa Shaul Hava Bereisha, Lichta Bereisha. So just historically, it doesn't make any sense. In David's life, he was first running away from Shaul, and then, at a later point in time, the rebellion of his son Avshalom, and he was running away from Avshalom. But just, if the assumption is that the Perakim of Tehillim are going to follow chronologically according to the life of David HaMelech, so then Perak Yigimel and Perak Nezayin seem to be totally out of place. So the Gemara says, Amar lei asan delo dashin smuchim kashulachu. Look, you're tzedukim. You don't believe in this whole smuchim. Anan de dashin smuchim lo kashul and damer av yochan smuchim and atar minayin shenemar smuchim la'ar la'olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar. We're believing smuchim. We dar smuchim. We look at the juxtaposition of various psukim. Lama nismach ha'parsha of shalom parshas gog u'magog. And the Navi specifically wanted to put the parsha of Avshalom right next to the parsha of gog u'magog. Shem ram lecha adam klum yesh evit shamarit b'rabo. Afata omer lo klum yesh ben shamarit b'aviv. It's hard to imagine that you're going to have an eved rebelling against the king. And to which the Gemara says, okay, but it's also hard to imagine a son rebelling against his father. Just like the son rebelled against his father, Avshalom rebelled against his father, so too, an eved is going to rebel against his melech. And you're going to see the rebellion of Gog u'Magog, meaning Gog u'Magog will happen just like Avshalom rebelled against his father. I'm Rav Yochanan Misham, Rav Yishem HaMayochem, my dech, Zivya Pascha v'chachma v'saretz chesed al-lashona. 31st parak of Mishle, we're all familiar, Eishes Chayol. So, Keneged Mi Amar Shlomo Mikrozeh. This pasuk of Pia Pascha v'chachma, who is that in correspondence with? Lo Amru Ela Keneged David Aviv. When Shlomo HaMelech authored this line, he was speaking about his father. Shedar b'chamisha olamim. David HaMelech was literally living in five different worlds. What does that mean? Va'amar, Shira. And while living in these five different worlds, he said, Shira darbe me'imo. So while living in the womb of his mother, Va'amar, Shira, Shedemar, Barchinav, Shes Hashem, V'chol, Karavai, Hashem, Kachov. The Pasuk in Perikuf Gimel Tehillim, which again, we referred to earlier, so we're going to refer to again. So that's talking about David singing Shiras and Sishpachos to Hakadosh Baruch Hu when he was in the womb. Yasalav Yerolam Nistaka Kocham Mazalz Ramashira Shenemar. Now he left the womb and he saw the constellation. And what did he say? Shenemar Baruch Hu Hashem Alachav Gibor Kolachosei Dvar Lishma Bekol Dvaro Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav. He's talking about the Tzvakos of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Tzvakos are his armies. Here there's a reference to the constellation, the stars, and the planets. Yonak Mishdei Imo V'Nistaka B'Dadeha the Amar. And then while nursing, he said the following, Shira Shenemar Baruch Nav Shes Hashem V'Al Tishkechi Kol Gemulav. And I cannot forget all the Gemul, all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed. My Kol Gemulav Amar Abeba Shara Sola Dadim B'Makom Bina. Meaning that the Dadim are right next to the Bina, right next to the specific special insight that a woman has. It is right next to her heart. Taima, and the Gemara's understanding is that the Bina comes from the lathe. Taima ma yamar of Yehuda Kadesh Lehistaka b'makom erva. And specifically, why is that so important that the Dadim are juxtaposed or placed right next to the Bina, right next to the heart, so that when the baby nurses, he does not need to look at the erva of the woman, which would be a breach of tznius. Rav Mas amar Kadesh Lehinak b'makom atinofos. Also, that when the Yinika is done, it does not have to be done in the dirtier parts of the body. He foresees the downfall of the Rishayim, and he says Shira once again. Now we're in Perikuf Dalad of Tehillim. The pasuk that Bura recorded to Rosman Rameir, Nistaka b'yom ha'misa v'amashira. Now he looked towards Yom ha'misa, and again he said Shira. Shenemar Baruch Nafshias Hashem Hashem Elokai Gadalta Ma'od Hod Vadal Lavashta My Mashma Dal Yom Hamisa Nemar. How do we see that this pasuk is a reference to Yom Hamisa? Amar Rabba Barav Shilam Yisefa Dinyan Dichsev Tastir Panecha Yibah Ilun Tosef Rucham Yigvaun. The word Gvia is a reference to Misa. Rav Shimi Bar Ukva Varmi Lai Mar Ukva Havashchich Kamei Rav Shimon Bar Paziva V'Mesadra Agadata Kamei Rav Yishuv Ben Levi. He organized Agadata in front of Yishuv Ben Levi. Amar Lei Mai Dechsev. What does the pasuk say? Baruch Inav Shis Hashem V'Chol Karavai Hashem Kacho. I want Kol Karavai to be Baruch Hashem, to bless Hashem. Amar Lei Borei Shlokim Midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midas Bas V'Dam. And the Gemara does this often, comparing the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the ways of humans. Midas Basar V'Adam Tzar Tzura Al Gabei Kosev Eino Yochol Lahatil Ba Ruach Neshama Karvayim Uvnei Ma'ayim. A person may be able to put a form together and may be able to sculpt something, but can't give it life. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein Tzar Tzura B'Soch Tzura Matil Ba Ruach Neshama Karvayim Uvnei Ma'ayim V'Hainu De'Amra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can form a human, and not only can form a human, but can form a human inside of a human, and not only form a human inside of a human, but give it life inside as well. V'hainu damra chana ein kadosh, ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha the ein tzur kelokeinu. My ein tzur kelokeinu. Now, literally, the word means there's no rock like Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Gemara is going to darshan the word tzur, ein sayar kelokeinu. There's no artist like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because not only can HaKadosh Baruch Hu create art, he could put life into the art. My ki ein biltecha, Rav Yehuda ben Manasseh, al tikra ki ein biltecha, ela ein levalo secha. There is no wearing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom ki midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midas basav adam, midas basav adam, ma'aseh yadav, mivalin oso. When we create, so that which we create wears us down. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears down his ma'aseh, meaning there is no diminishment in HaKadosh Baruch Hu even after he creates. David, we say it a little bit differently. We say that the five Baruchi Nafshis are in correspondence to the following. It's a comparison of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Kol HaOlam Af Neshama Malei Es Kol HaGof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire world. The Neshama fills the entire body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roe Ve'Eino Nira Af Neshama Roe Ve'Eino Nira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees but is not seen. The Neshama sees but is not seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanes Kol HaOlam Kol Af Neshama Zanes Kol HaGof. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports the world, the Neshama supports the body. Once the Neshama leaves the body is no longer supportable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahor Af Neshama Tahora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tahor. The Neshama is Tahora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadarim Af Neshama Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadarim. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concealed in an internal space, in an interior space, so too the neshama is concealed in an interior space. And let the neshama, who shares these five qualities with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am Rav Amnon my dear Siv, ki mi ki hachachamu mi yodea pesha davar. Who knows how to resolve these things? Mi kakash baruch hu shi yodea lasos pshar ben shnei tzadikim ben chizkiyahu li shayahu. There was a disconnect between the king Chizkiyahu and the Navi Yishayahu. Chizkiyahu amar leisi Yishayahu gabai. Chizkiyahu, the king, said, Yishayahu should come to me. Because we do find that Eliyahu, the Navi, went to go visit the king Achav. Skip the parentheses. Yishayahu amar leisi Chizkiyahu gabai. What do you mean? I can point to another king who went to go visit the Navi. The king Yehoram, son of Achav, went to go visit Elisha. So now we're at an impasse because Chizkiyahu was saying that Elisha should come to me, and Elisha was saying that, Yishayahu should come to him, and Yishayahu was saying just the opposite. So, Ma'asakash Baruch Hu, Yisrumah Chizkiyahu. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to a very simple resolution. Chizkiyahu will get sick. And so now, from doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, so now Yishayahu is going to visit Chizkiyahu. And so now, by Chizkiyahu getting sick, so that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Pesher Dover. That was his resolution of the problem. And now Yishayahu will have to visit Chizkiyahu al the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Now the news that Yishayahu brings Chizkiyahu is not good news. You're going to die. Put it savah, make a will and last testament. And because you're going to die, you're going to die in this world, and he says to Chizkiyahu, and in the next world as well. Now, for us it's very difficult to understand because Chizkiyahu was a good king. Right, led the Jewish people on a learning revolution. Had all the Jewish people learning. And so it's hard to understand that Yeshayahu says to him, you're not going to get a chelek in Olam Haba. Amarle Maikule Hai. And Chizkiah was bothered by this very same question. What did I do wrong? So Amarle Mishum Delo Asakta Bepira Virivya. So Yeshayahu reprimands Chizkiah, you weren't involved in the mitzvah Peruvu. Amarle Mishum Dechazele Baruch HaKodesh Anak Femine Benin Delo Ma'alu. So he says, yeah, but I know what's going to happen. I know through Ruach HaKodesh that I'm going to have a child, and my child is going to be a chote. Yes, it's philosophically very hard to understand. Bechira Chavshis, everyone has Bechira Chavshis. How does Chizkiyahu know that his son is going to be a Rasha? Isn't that up to the son to decide? Okay. I know it fits into the general question of how could God be omniscient and we still have Bechira Chavshis? It's really the same question. See the Rambam, Perikei of Hechus Tshuva, who attempts to answer it. See the Ravid over there. Anyway. So he says, you're thinking too much. You're trying to figure out HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans. That's not your job. Your job is to do mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah peruvu, you do the mitzvah peruvu, and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu figure out the rest. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do after that is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says to Yeshayahu, okay, I have an idea. Fine. I'll do the mitzvah peruvu as you suggested. But let me marry your daughter, Chizkiyahu says to Yeshayahu. And by me marrying your daughter, so now we'll have my tzidkus, we'll have your tzidkus through genetics. And our child now has a better chance. Efshad de garma zechus, di David didach, v'nafki minai benin demalu. And now between my tzidkus and your tzidkus, we're going to have sons that are going to be good sons. Okay, it'll give him a good chance. I'm like Nigzera Alacha Gzera. To which Yeshayahu says, look, all these are great ideas, but it's too late. Kadosh Baruch Hu already made a Gzera. Amarle Ben Amoz Kalei Nevuah Secha V'Sei. So he says Ben Amoz, he refers to Yeshayahu by his father's name Ben Amoz, which is generally speaking a pejorative way to speak to somebody. But you can understand in this context how Chizkiyahu was not happy. What Yeshayahu was saying is that there's a gzera and it's too late and there's nothing that you could do and you can't change it. You can't change it. Kalei finish. What exactly does that mean? So the Vilna Gaon says a pshat over here in the Gemara. It means this nevuah that you just told me, don't tell anybody else. Because once you share the nevuah with anybody else, so then the nevuah cannot be overturned. But now that you shared the nevuah only with me, so keep it that way. V'tzei kach mekubanim beis avi abba afilu cherev chad munechas al savor shaladam lo yimna atzma min harachamim. Even if the knife is directly over your neck, you should still ask for rachamim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything is overturnable, and so therefore there is an appeal process, and I'd like to use the appeal process even at this point in time. I could still have hope even right before I'm about to be killed. By the way, when he referred to Abi Ava, my grandfather, who is he referring to? So he was talking about his ancestor, David HaMelech. If you take a look at the last Rashi on the Amud, Rashi writes, David Shiraz HaMelech, David HaMelech, even when he saw the Malchim Avis, still was asking Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's never too late to ask for Rachamim, even after the Gzera. We're now on the top of Daf Yud Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Chanan Nefil Ba'achol Amos, Amar Lola Adam, Lamachar Umeis, Al Yimna Atzma Min HaRachamim. Even if a Ba'achol Amos comes over to you and says to you that you are going to die, so you could still ask for Rachman Hashanama, the Gomar quotes a Pasuk, Koalas, Kibarov, Chalamos, Vechavalim, Dvarim, Arbe, Kies, Alokim, Yarei, Miyad, Vayesev, Chizkiyahu, Panav, Alakir, Vizpala, Hashem. Now, Chizkiyahu, after acknowledging that it's never too late, and he's going to appeal to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he turns to the wall and he davens to Hashem. Remember, we quoted this Pasuk already earlier in the Masechta that taught us that when a person davens, a person should be facing the Kiri, should be facing the wall. And we quoted the Mishnah Berurah to help enhance the Kavana. Okay, so this is the source. So my Kira, I'm Rabbi Yishma Malakish, Mikiros Libo. So when he was davening from the depths of his heart. Shenamar, may I ochilu kiros libi, Rebbe Levi Amal Iske Akir. He was speaking about matters of the wall. Shenamar, Amal of Anna Rebbe Shalom Amash, Shunamish lo, Asasa el Akir Achas Ketana, Heche Yeses, but not look. The Shunamis. She created one little wall for the Navi, for Elisha. And meanwhile, her son was able to get a full Tchias HaMesim. Avi Abba Shechifa Zehechel Kulo Bekesef. Now, my grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech, didn't just create one wall for you. He filled the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kodesh Baruch Hu's dwelling place in this world, with Kesef Azav, with silver and gold, Alachas Kama Vekama. So, and the Tchus of my grandfather, so I should also get a Tchias HaMesim. I should also get a Tchias HaMesim. Now, he's not dead yet, but because of the Gzera, so he considered himself as if he's already dead. Zacher na isa sheri salach lefanecha be'emes v'leiv shalem v'atov be'necha sisi. And also, remember this, he says to Kash Baruch Hu, I've been doing good my whole life. I've been doing exactly what you wanted to do. My v'atov be'necha sisi am Rabbi Yehuda marav shesamach gula tfila. One of the things that Chizkiyahu did is that he fulfilled this inyan of smicha gula tfila. Rabbi Levi am Rashigaz the Sefer Refuos. Another thing that he did that he's declaring was a good thing is that he took the Sefer Refuos and he hid the Sefer Refuos. And the Gemara here quotes a Braisa Tana Rabbanan. Now we have it as a Mishnah at the end of the fourth parak of Psachim. Shish Advar Masa Chizkiyahu HaMelech Al Gimel Hodu Lo Al Gimel Lo Hodu Lo. Six things in total that Chizkiyahu did. Three of them Chachamim acknowledged was a good thing, and three things that he did that Chachamim acknowledged was not a good thing. Al Gimel Hodu Lo Gana Sefer Refuos. So one thing that he did is that he hid the Sefer Refuos, this book of remedies. I'll talk more about it in just a moment. V'hodu lo, and they thought that was a good thing. Kite nachash anachoshes v'hodu lo, the copper snake that Moshe made in order to cure the Jewish people when they were in the Midbar, and there was a plague that afflicted the Jewish people, and they were getting bitten by snakes. And the psukim at the end of Bamidbar talked about how they all looked, Parshas Chukas, they all looked to the copper snake, and by looking to the copper snake, they were all healed, and we all know the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. It is not the copper snake that healed, but Ela Shekivan Liban Lavim Shebashamayim. It helped their kavana. So, but what happened is historically is that over the years people missed the point. They thought that it was the copper snake. So what he did, what Chizkiyahu did, is he took the copper snake and he ground it up. And to that, Hodulo the Chachamim said that was good. And finally, Gira Atzamas Aviv Al Mitzvah Shachavolim. He took the bones of his father. His father was a wicked king, and he dragged the bones of his father on the ground. Achaz was his father, an extraordinarily wicked king. He dragged the bones on the ground, and even though that could be viewed as a significant breach of Kibud Av, and certainly Bizayon HaMeis, but in order to make the point that the actions of his father were totally deplorable, and he totally repudiated the actions of his father, so he dragged the bones on the ground. The Odulon and the Chachamim agreed to that as well. So those three actions, which could have been viewed as questionable actions, the Chachamim thought those were very good. So he stopped up the Gihon River. This is when the Assyrian army came to attack Chizkiyahu and Yerushalayim after having gone to the north. They're now coming down into the south. And what Chizkiyahu wanted to do was stop up the Gihon River to stop the water supply for the Assyrian army. The Chachamim said, don't do that. Meaning, this is going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's fight. This is not going to be your fight. This should not be your fight. He gave Doron, he gave a gift to the Assyrian king. And what he sent him was the doors to the Heichal. And the Chachamim thought that was not appropriate at all. Meaning, don't try that path as well. Iber Nisan Benisan Velo Hodulo. And finally, the last thing that he did is he added an extra month before the calendar was fixed. So we had to figure out when to add the extra month in order to coordinate the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. And so you have to add an extra month. That extra month that we add is in Adar. Now that our calendars are fixed, we know which years are going to have an Adar base, an extra month. But back in the good old days, it had to be decided, and it had to be decided in the month of Adar. Once Nisan was declared to be Rosh Chodesh, it's too late. It cannot be Ma'aber this year. You have to move on to next year. Now, Nisan. So, the Gemara says this last thing that Chizkiyahu did. It's such a blatant mistake. How in the world could Chizkiyahu actually think that he could be Ma'aber Nisan? It's a Beferish Drasha that you cannot be Ma'aber the year once Nisan comes around. So, the Gemara says, no, Chizkiyahu's mistake was a much more nuanced error. Meaning, once you get to the 30th day of Adar, even though it's still Adar, but because today could potentially be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it's already now too late. Now, he didn't hold by this. In other words, he thought that, look, it's Adar, it's still Adar. It's the 30th day of Adar. I still have an opportunity to declare the next month to be Adar. But no, that's not the halacha. The halacha falls like Shmuel. Shmuel says that once you get to the 30th day of Adar, since that could potentially be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so therefore you no longer have an option of adding another Adar base. Okay. One point we'll discuss briefly, and that is he was Gonez Sefer Refuos, meaning one of the reasons why one of the things he admitted to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he did, and in the schus of it he should have done, he should be saved, is that he took the Sefer Refuos and he hid it. Now, Kipshuto, just on the simplest level, what he means by that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I still had the Sefer Refuos, I may have been healed. And but because I was going as a Sefer Refuos, so therefore I'm no longer able to use it, so therefore I turn totally to you to help me. Okay, that's the Gemara on the simplest level. But just to discuss briefly, why did he hide the Sefer Refuos? And the Chachamim were extraordinarily happy with what he did. So what was so good about hiding Sefer Refuos? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi over here says that he was Gonez. Sorry. So if you take a look at Rashi, I'm looking for Rashi myself. Okay, I'll find it. So anyway, but Rashi writes that that basically it's the same thing we spoke about by the Nachash and Nechoshes, meaning what the people did is instead of turning to Kadosh Baruch Hu, they turned exclusively to the Sefer Refuos, and we looked at the Sefer Refuos exclusively as a means of curing. And they took HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the whole equation of curing. And once he realized that, now the Sefer Refuos was replacing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why he took it and he hid it. Basically, it sounds like from Rashi that really, if a person's ill and a person's sick, so he shouldn't use any type of natural means of curing, but he should just rely strictly on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at Ramban on Chumash, so the Ramban on Chumash says that that actually is a virtue, meaning that a person really, in the truth of truths, really a person should just turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's sick. And the whole idea that we're using natural means and natural ways to cure a person, and we're using doctors and medicine, that's a bidyevit state. But really, a person should turn strictly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is interesting to note the Ramban himself was a doctor, but okay, he says that this is a virtue. The Rambam, if you can imagine, strongly disagrees with this approach of Rashi and the approach of the Ramban. The Rambam, of course, lived before the Ramban, but the Rambam, if you take a look at Perasha Mishnayos to the end of the fourth parak of Pesachim, he says that no, that using natural means doesn't detract any way from a person's haftach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the Rambam makes a comparison. He says, look, a person's starving. So what should he do? He should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No, he should eat. Eating is just simply a natural way of sustaining us. So using medicine and using doctors is just simply a natural way of healing a person. So he says there's no lack of bitachon and emunah by a person using medicine and a person using doctors. Now, right, you would also imagine the Rambam would take this position. He is a doctor, but no. In other words, he fundamentally disagrees with the Ramban and with Rashi in terms of whether or not medicine is considered just a bidyevit. It's a compromise, but really a person should just turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that medicine is more like food, and it can be viewed as just a simple natural resource in which we use in terms of healing somebody who is ill. Okay, so that the basic machlokas. So according to the Rambam, so why did, if that's true, why did Chizkiyahu feel the need to hide the book, the Sefer HaRefuos? So the Rambam says, because what the Sefer HaRefuos turned into is it turned into a form of Avodah Zarah. So he writes in the Perasha Mishnayos that the astrologers were using the Sefer HaRefuos to heal. They would carve certain images and certain gods. The Rambam used the Greek word talisman in describing it. And so it basically turned into a form of Avodah Zarah, and that's why Chizkiyahu found the need to hide it. So basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, and Rashi over here, in terms of what was so great and what was the need of Chizkiyahu to hide the Sefer HaRefuos. We're back to the Gemara. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimmer Kol Atola Bezchus Atzmo Tolan Lo Bezchus Atcherem V'Kol Atola Bezchus Atcherem Tolan Lo Bezchus Atzmo. One of the things that Chizkiyahu did in his tefillah is he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu to heal him based on his own merit. Now, the Gemara basically says you shouldn't really do that. In other words, you should ask based on the merit of other people, but not based on your own merit. So, Tala Bezchus Atcherem Shenemar, sorry, Moshe Tala Bezchus Atcherem Shenemar Zechur Labram Lizchak Yisrael Avedecha. So when he asked Rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Jewish people after the Chet HaEgel, he asked Bizchus Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Talo Bizchus Atzmo Shenemar Vayomer Lashmi Dem Lulei Moshe Bechiro Ama Beperes Lefanav Lashiv Chamaso Mehashchis. And meanwhile, the Jewish people were saved on whose Zichus? On the Zichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know based on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Chizkiyahu asked for Rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asked based on his own zechus. So talo b'zchus acherim, and as a result of that, he was saved, but not based on his own zechus, but on the zechus of the others. Shenamar veganosi ela ira zos lo shi lemaani uleman David avdi. I'll save the city, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but based on the zechus of David. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him shalom, but it was still bitter to him, meaning because he was not saved in his own zchus. Now he mentioned the Isha Shunamis who made a room for Elisha. And so the Gemara now is going to speak about this room that was made. Rav Shmuel Charamar Aliyah Pruaisa V'Keiruha. So what exactly did she make? The Isha Shunamis for Elisha. So one pshat is that she had a room without a roof and she made a roof. V'Charamar Askadra Gedol Aisa V'Chilku Lishnam. She had a big room and she divided into two small rooms. And one of them she gave to Elisha. V'Shalom Lamanda Amar Askadra Hainu Dechsev Kir. Now, you understand it because the word Kir usually refers to a vertical wall. But if you want to say it's a roof, how do you understand the word kir? You understand kir as a form of keiruha, that it was more like, it was fashioned like a roof. Now the pasuk also refers to it as an aliyah, which means that it was upstairs. So you understand how it was one built on top of another. But how do you understand if it was just one room divided into two? What's the word aliyah? Mu'ula shebebatim. She gave Elisha not just a house, but the nicest of the rooms. V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah. And then she furnished the room, and she made the furnishings of a chair, a table, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lantern. Amar by Vitam Ravitzka Rosalanos Yana Kilisha Vishana Rosalanos Alyana Kishmuel Haramasi. So anyone who wants to get Hana'a should get Hana'a like Elisha and not like Shmuel. The Shenamos Shuvasara Masa Kishambe. So Shmuel didn't stop anywhere, meaning Shmuel went home. Elisha, So he stopped and he got a room and he got furnishings. V'am Rav Yochanan shekol makom shalach sham beiso sham beiso imo. And I'm sorry. And the Gemara says that when Shmuel traveled around, so Shmuel went with his entire house. When meanwhile Elisha traveled, Elisha had only the slimmest of furnishings. V'tomer Elisha hinei na yadat ki ish Elokim kadosh hu. Now she already knows that he is an ish Elokim kadosh. He's holy. Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanan Mikansha isha makaris ba'orchin Yosef an ish. Women understand the guests better than the men do. Kutsha mina ish. Kadoshu mina yada. How did she know he was so holy? Rav Shmuel, Chanamar shalom rasa zvuv over shulchano. He had no flies flying at his table. V'charamar sadin shal pishtan hitzia al mitaso. V'lo rasa keri. When she made his bed, she made his bed using linens, and he had no nocturnal emissions. Verasa keri alav. Kadoshu amar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina kadoshu misharsar in a kadosh. Meaning, now the Gemara is darshing the word who. He's holy, but his sharet, his misharet, his attendant, Gehazi, is not holy. Vayigash Gehazi lahadfa. Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina sha'achza behod yafya. When she ran to Elisha to beg and plead with him to help her son who died, so Gehazi, who did not understand, pushed her. And the Gemara over here darshans that he didn't just push her, but he touched her in what seems to be inappropriate areas when he pushed her aside. Over aleinu tamid. I'm Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov kol ha'ma'arich tamid chacham besoch beso u'mehanehu minechasov ma'ale alav ha'kasuf kilu makriv tamidim. The Gemara is darshaning the word tamid. Now, tamid in this context simply means that he came frequently. But the Gemara understands that when you take a talmid chacham into your house and you give him room and you give him food, it's as if you brought a carbon tamid. The Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov al yamur adam b'makom gavoh v'yispalo al b'makom namoch v'yispalo. When you daven, you should daven from a low place. Shenemar mimamakim karasich Hashem tanyan mehach lo yamur adam lo al gabi kisei v'lo gabi srafraf. You do not want to come off as being arrogant. You should be wrapped up. You should be humbled when you daven. You should keep your feet together. When the Navi Yechezkel was describing the Malachim, he says that their feet were straight. And we should act like we are Malachim. Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanan Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, my dichsev lo sochlu al adam. Lo sochlu kodem shiyispalal al dimchen. Do not eat before you ask for your own life. So the Gemara here clearly says that you're not allowed to eat before you daven in the morning. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanan Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, kol ha'ocha v'shosef v'achar kach mispalal. Alav ha'kasav omer v'osi yishlachta acharei gavecha. Al tikrei gavecha ela ge'echa. It's like you're arrogant if you eat and drink before you eat, before you daven. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'achar shenizgal zeh kibal alav malchus shamayim. Now that he adorned himself and he's eating and he's drinking, now he's going to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. Rav Yehoshua Amar Ad Gimel Sha'os. Finally, we get back to the end of the Mishnah. Mishnah talks about the last time that you could say Shema, and that is Ad Gimel Sha'os. You have in 3 hours until the day. Amar Rav Yehoshua Amar Shema Halacha Rav Yehoshua. The Gemara quotes that that's in fact the accepted halacha like Rav Yehoshua. So you have, a person has until 3 hours into the day in order to say his Kriya Shema. We're all familiar, we all know. 3 hours into the day, that does not mean 360-minute hours. It is the day is taken and is divided into 12 parts. And so when we mean 3 hours, we mean three of these adjusted hours. In terms of figuring out the day, how do we figure out a day in order to divide into 12 units? So that's a machlokas, a famous machlokas between the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, and the Magen Avraham. The Vilna Gaon says it's from sunrise until sunset. And you take those hours, those minutes, and you divide into 12 units, and that's how you adjust, and that's how you figure out the Sof Zman Kriya Shema. And the Magen Avraham says, no, you go from Amud HaShachar until Tzeitzei Kochavim. You take that time, you divide that into 12 units, and that is going to be your 3 hours into the day. comes out that the Gra's hours are going to be shorter hours, but start later. The Magen Avraham's hours are going to be longer hours, but starts earlier. How does it normally work out? Normally it works out that the Magen Avraham's Sof Zman Kriya Shema is going to come out earlier than the Vilna Gaon's Sof Zman Kriya Shema. So how do we paskin? So it's not for me to say. But the Aruch HaShochan strongly favors the position of the Vilna Gaon, and I believe most poskim do as well. There are people who are careful to say Kriya Shema within the time of the Magen Avraham. Now, you're saying Shema late in the morning. It's after Sof Zman Kriya Shema, after the third hour. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav Chista, fine, say Shema, but don't say Yotze Or, because Yotze Or speaks about the coming out of the sun, but now you're already into the day, you're past 3 hours into the day, and it's just not appropriate to say Yotze Or. Meis ve'akor mikam ve'elach lo yifsi, ke adam hashu kore b'torah. The Gemara quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says that when you say Shema that late in the day, after 3 hours into the day, you'll still say the brachos of Shema, two before and one after. Now, two before, of course, is going to include Yotze Or. That obviously is going to be a kasha on Rav Chista. Tiyufta de Rav Chista, tiyufta. Igadarme, am Rav Chista, am Amar Ukva, my lo hifsid, shlo hifsid brachos. Meaning that what the word lo hifsa means, you didn't lose out the brachos. You could still say the brachos even after 3 hours into the day. Tanya mihachia kore, sorry. Ha kore mikan ve'elach lo hifsa kazan shakor b'torah. Ava mavarchu shayim lefanev achas achara. Amar avmani gadol akore kriyashma bonasa yosem yosek b'torah. Greater saying kriyashma at the right time than somebody who's involved in the learning of Torah. It is better Kriya Shema to be read in its proper time. It's better than learning. And so, with this, we're going to conclude what is an extraordinarily long daf. Admittedly, a ton of words on this daf. So we went through on this daf the Kriya Shema of the morning. The Mishnah told us when it starts. The accepted halachic position is Mishiyakir es chavero. That was the Gemara's conclusion. When is the best time to say it? From the Gemara, it sounds like right before Netzach Chama, so that you can daven your tefillah with Netzach Chama. The Gemara took us through a lot of agadata, discussions of Breuer and her husband about how to respond to Rishayim, declaring Hashem's praises in this world. The Chizkiyahu and his decree that he was going to die. Tefillah saved him from that decree. The things that Chizkiyah did that were praised, the things that Chizkiyah did that were not praised. Even when with Chizkiyah's tefillah, certain things that he did within the tefillah that were not appropriate, notably meriting his own zechus. The Gemara then discussed Elisha and all the chasadim that were done with Elisha, and the hospitality towards a Talmid Chacham. And finally, we ended off with halacha of when is the last time that one could say Kriya Shema, and the Gemara says up until 3 hours into the day, and we talked about how to figure out those 3 hours into the day. Ad Kan Daf Yud.